today. Don't know if I'd have my family. There's just no telling who I would be if not for grace. I could be locked up in jail, have no future, no story to tell. I know my soul would be crying from hell if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still carry on. But when he looked my way, there was mercy on his face. I would not be saved today if not for grace. Sin I'd carried for so long, things in my past I had done so wrong. God's forgiveness I would have never known if not for grace. There'd be no hope of heaven above. I would not know the words for God so loved. I know my life would be unheard of if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless. If not for grace, there'd be no reason to carry on. But when he looked my way, there was mercy on his face.
Thank you, Miss Camp, and thank God for grace. The mountain of God's grace is greater than the mountain of our sin. And let us not forget it. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Let me invite each of you to come back tomorrow night. We'll begin tomorrow night our Great Southwest Bible Conference, and it'll start at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, and then again on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock throughout the morning, then again on Tuesday evening, and all the way through Thursday evening. And let me invite you to come and be a part of it. And let me say to our church family, it is essential that you come. We need you. This is for us, for you. And God forbid we do and work as hard as we've worked and spent like we've spent to bring this to pass, and you don't come and get it. It's kind of like mama or wife preparing a big meal, and you don't show up for supper. All right, if you found your place, Matthew chapter 23, we shall begin to read in verse number 13, Matthew chapter 23. These are the words of Jesus. The Bible says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And we'll leave off reading there. I'm not going to read more than that at the beginning of the message, because this message Jesus is preaching is so scathing. I don't know if you could take it today. Every now and then I'll have some pious individual, someone who thinks they're God's gift, to tell me, "Preacher, you need to preach more like Jesus." You couldn't stand it. You couldn't handle it. Jesus was tender and compassionate on the hurting and the needing and those that wanted to know God. He was tough, scathing to those who were pretenders, those who were hypocrites. There's only three kinds of people here today. There are those that are saved, and you know it beyond a doubt. There are those that are unsaved, and you know it. Then there are those who are pretenders, hypocrites. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Who is that masked man among us? Heavenly Father, help me this morning to make this message plain and understandable, so that not one person will face you without having heard the warning you give against hypocrisy. Pretending to be saved but aren't. Pretending to be good but not. They're not good. Help us, Lord Jesus, to look into our own hearts today. Lord, we can put on all the right kind of garments. We can groom our hair and we can clothe ourselves as we should. And we can paint a picture that we're one thing, but in our heart, we know we're not that person. And God knows who we are. Speak to us today. Save every unsaved person here. Help us throw away the robes of pretense and help us just to be honest in the sight of God. Help us to live in such a way that we are what we appear to be. Now, Lord, you know who's here today and you know who needs this message. I'm asking you to save every unsaved person in this building. Those that know beyond a doubt they're lost and need to be saved. Those who will be convinced by the Holy Spirit during the message that they're lost and they need to be saved. And those that are pretending to be saved, but you know they're not. I pray that you might do your work in their hearts and bring each of them to that place where they see themselves as you see them, and help them, Father, today to come and to simply trust Jesus and to get it right, start it right, and live in a way that's honest and pleasing to Thee. We'll thank You for what You shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Matthew 23, Jesus is bringing His farewell message in the temple. He'll not preach in the temple anymore after this message. This is the last message He will preach to these Jews, these Pharisees, and to the hypocrites there in that temple. He's speaking to His disciples, the scribes, and the Pharisees. And this is the most scathing message that Jesus ever preached. He called the Pharisees hypocrites. Now, what is a hypocrite? The Bible definition of a hypocrite is very simple. A hypocrite is an actor playing an assumed character. He's a stage player. He's a person pretending to be someone they are not and are trying to cover up their true identity by wearing a mask. Thus we get our title, Who is that masked man among us? Jesus' message to these Pharisees is very plain. It's very stern. It's a rebuke. It's a warning to them. You see, they are pretending to be very good religious people. But Jesus sees their heart. He calls them hypocrites. He sees through their mask and pretense. He sees their true spiritual condition. He calls them snakes. He calls them vipers. He calls them children of hell. Oh, my soul, I fear greatly as I read this that we have some masked men and women and young people among us who are play-acting as Christians, and yet they know they're not saved. You say, how can that be? Well, one of Jesus' own disciples was a hypocrite. He wore the mask of pretense. So what makes you think it couldn't happen here? As much as hypocrites try to fool mom and dad, they try to fool their family, they try to fool their preacher, God always sees through their pretense, and God always reveals their deceit. You see, these hypocrites are fakes. They're frauds. They're also fools. When it comes to the Christian life, they've never been born again. They're lost. They've turned their backs on the Lord Jesus and are wearing the hypocritical mask of pretense, knowing all the time that they're hypocrites. Listen to what Jesus said to these masked men and women, the hypocrites. John chapter 8, verse 43 and 44 and 45, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" Then he answered it, "Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe not." Notice some of the things he says about the hypocrites and their spiritual father. He said, first of all, they don't understand. They can't discern the meaning of the Word of God. They are of their father, the devil. And they live after the lust of their father, the devil. They don't abide in truth. There's no truth in him, and there's no truth in them. He is a liar. This is what Jesus is saying about hypocrites. Paul had just begun his first missionary journey when he met a man named Elymas. Elymas was a sorcerer. His name meant one that was wise among the learned. He presented himself as something he was not. He was a sorcerer. He was devil-controlled, not God-controlled. His religion was of hell, not of heaven. Acts 13:8, Paul, the Bible says, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is the name by interpretation, withstood them," Paul and his missionary party, "seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So here's what the hypocrite does. He wears the mask, pretending to be something he's not, but in reality he's a child of the devil. He's an enemy of all righteousness, and he perverts, if he can, the right ways of the Lord Jesus. Now for our message this morning, I want us to look at a few simple facts as stated by Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 about a hypocrite. I don't have time to cover everything Jesus said about the hypocrites in chapter 23. I don't have time to do it, and if I did, you couldn't stand it. But I do want to point out just seven simple facts Jesus stated about the hypocrite. Number one, we see first of all the work of the hypocrite. Jesus reminds us that the hypocrite is not content just to live their lie, but they're working hard at pulling others into their hellish practice. Matthew 23, verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." And by the way, when Jesus says woe, nothing good is connected with it. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself." So we see the work of the hypocrite. The hypocrite is pretending to be religious, but pursuing the devil's agenda. He's believing the devil's gospel. He's trying to pull others into his miry pit also. He's trying to make proselytes. May I say to you that the devil's religious crowd, the hypocrites, are more active in trying to win people to their cause than most Christians are? Hey, how many people have come to know Jesus because of you? How many people can you think that have been pulled into sin and away from God because of the hypocrite? Because of those who pretend to be something and they're not? It's bad enough for one person to play the role of the hypocrite, but what's worse is that they are out to infect and infest others with their lie. The amazing thing is that when weak and worldly Christians are around the hypocrite, they know that they're living a lie, but they're too weak and worldly to do anything about it. And they're usually sucked into their lie and live their lifestyle. Secondly, Jesus tells us who a hypocrite really is, plus who their converts are. Verse 15 says they are a child of hell. He said, "You make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." So the hypocrite, God says, now this is Jesus talking, this is truth, this is the way, the truth, and the life speaking. He says the Christian pretending to be religious, the Christian who's got his name on a church roll but never been saved, the Christian who has been baptized but never has been born again, he's a child of hell, a child of the devil. Their future as hypocrites is the same as the devil's future: judgment and hell. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 23, Jesus asked the question, "How can Satan cast out Satan?" He can't. How can you get help spiritually from a hypocrite, from a pretender? How can you turn away from God and turn away from the Word of God to the world and still think somehow you're going to make it to heaven? How can you think you can live the hypocrite's life and have God's blessings and approval on it? We can't. Satan cannot cast out Satan. And God does not bless Satan's children. As long as they follow the devil's lie and practice their pretense, they are not saved and cannot be saved. Satan can't cast out Satan. Satan can't save the religious pretender. Only when that pretender faces the truth about their true condition and comes to Jesus Christ can they be saved. Is not their future described in Jesus' statement, a child of hell. Who are you? I'm a child of hell. Where are you going? I'm going to hell. You better get familiar with those statements, because that's describing who you are and what your future is. If you're playing the game, if you're wearing the mask, if you're running around pretending to be a Christian, but you've never been born again, you've never been saved. And God knows the difference. Thirdly, Jesus tells us in the Word of God what He sees when He looks at the hypocrite's work and at his life. Matthew 23:25. Jesus says, "Woe unto you." There it is again. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." That's what Jesus said He sees. Now listen, man can see the outside. We can't see the inside. Therefore, Christians, we who are saved, need to be sure that we make the outside a reflection of what's inside. You see, the Bible says we're justified two ways. Number one, we're justified in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus can see our faith. You and I can't see our faith. We can only see each other's works. And we're justified in the sight of man by our works. There's no conflict between Paul and James when he talks about justification by faith or by works. That's not a contradiction. He's saying Christians, every Christian should be justified both ways. We must be justified in the sight of God by our faith to become a Christian, and then we're to be justified in the sight of man by our works. And in the sight of man, faith without works appears dead. So, Jesus says, now, I'm looking on the inside. Outside, boy, they look good. They dress like a Christian. They talk like a Christian. They've got the talk down. They know the language. They know the right words, the buzzwords. But He says, I push back the mask, push back the robes of pretense, and I look into their hearts, and they're full of dead men's bones, full of corruption, putrefaction, wickedness. He sees their work. Look at verse 27 and 28. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres." A sepulcher is where you put dead people. You can paint the outside of it white and it'll look clean. But you go inside and bodies are decaying and rotting and putrefaction is set in. He said, you're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so ye also appear outwardly righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisies and iniquity. Does that describe you? I hope it doesn't. But as a preacher of the Word of God, I am compelled by God to ask you, are you wearing a mask? Are you pretending to be somebody you're not? Does God look in you and see in you the same person you appear to be on the outside? Does He see a heart that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Does He see a saved person? Our outward life ought to appear to be what a Christian should appear to be. But our inward life ought to reflect that also. There must be an agreement there. The hypocrite has the outward appearance, but inside they're full of sin and corruption and wickedness. They're lost and without God. Hey, how to determine a hypocrite? Don't trust your eyes. Check their fruit. Check their fruit. Good fruit can't come from a bad tree. Fourthly, Jesus asked a question that reveals the hypocrite's future. Matthew 23:33. You don't know what Jesus thinks of a pretender? Ye serpents. Ye generation of vipers. And here's the questions. Question, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Have you got an answer for that? The hypocrite can't escape the damnation of hell. The hypocrite is one who is pretending to be one of God's children, but is not. He is not. She is not. And he said, you're a snake. You ever been called a snake? If you're a hypocrite, Jesus just called you one. A snake. Not only that, a generation of vipers. And then he asks, how can you escape the damnation of hell? If you continue your life as a hypocrite, the answer is you can't. You see, for a hypocrite to get saved, he has to stop being a hypocrite. He has to face the truth. He has to see himself as God sees him. He has to come confessing his sin, his sinfulness, and asking Christ to forgive him and save him and come into his life and clean the corruption out, forgive the sin, and make him that new creature. Here we see the attitude of the hypocrite concerning the work of God and the ministry of God and the people of God and the men of God. Don't take lightly the spirit of a hypocrite. Look at Matthew 23:34. Jesus says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you scourge in the synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Jesus said, hypocrite, I know your attitude and your spirit about the things of God. You don't love God. You don't love me. You don't love Jesus. You don't love the preachers of God. You don't love the work of God or the church of God. For God's sake, why go all of the trouble of pretending? If you're going to be a child of the devil, just come right out and say it. I'm a child of the devil. See, you're trying to avoid reality. You're not just pretending to someone else. You're trying to fool your own self. You don't want to think about dying and going to hell. You don't want to think about standing in judgment before God as a hypocrite, a lost person, a pretender, one who is going to hell pretending to be a Christian. Do you know how hard it is to go through life living a lie? You know you're lying. God knows you're lying. The devil knows you're lying. You go to bed at night knowing you're a liar. You get up knowing you're a pretense. Now you've got to cover up the lie you told yesterday to cover up the lie you told the day before. Your life is miserable. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no fun. There's no excitement. Misery. Woe, Jesus said, woe is you. Misery. How much better is it? Just come to the place where every sinner who gets saved must come. We must see ourselves as we are, without God and without hope, as we are. We see ourselves as a sinner. We see ourselves condemned. We see ourselves lost. We see ourselves going to hell. And we see the only hope is Jesus, not pretense. Can you imagine the hypocrite at the great white throne judgment. By the way, that's the only place they're going. They're not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. See, the rapture separates. No matter how wicked and ungodly this world gets, one day Jesus is coming back and He's calling out His own. He knows the difference. There is a divine blood mark on the child of God. The child of God is indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He knows them that are His. You'll never stand at the judgment seat of Christ where Christians will be examined. Your pretense will be found out. God knows. You'll stand at the great white throne judgment where the books will be open and everything you've ever done with all its lies and all its hypocrisy will be against you. I don't understand why a person pretends. That's hard. That's miserable. When you could come to Jesus honestly, personally, and be saved. Have all that old sin washed away. Be given a new heart and a new life. A new beginning. Be saved. Be saved. Don't have to pretend. Just live for Jesus. Just follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. No pretense. They killed the prophets. They hated the preachers. They hated Jesus. They hated the words He spoke. Look at what this crowd did to Jesus. They crucified Him. The same crowd was the chief antagonist to Paul. They stirred up riots against Him. They stoned Him. They plotted to kill Him. They pledged neither to eat or drink until they'd killed Him. And every true Bible preacher today still has the hypocrite crowd trying to shut down his voice, shut down his ministry, or to get him to water down his message. And it's no difference here in Arlington, Texas, and at Trinity Baptist Church. There are mass men out there trying to hold us up from doing the will of God. Sixthly, Jesus reminded those mass men, those hypocrites, that He'll hold them accountable for the way they've treated the men of God. Now, this is amazing. Listen to this. Matthew 23, verse 35 and 36. Jesus said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. From the righteous blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation of vipers, of hypocrites. Now listen to what He's saying. He's saying God is going to hold the hypocrite accountable for the blood of every preacher and every Christian that has been martyred on this earth. By the way, did you know that most of the martyrdom in Christianity came under the name of religion? Let me finish. Jesus reveals to the hypocrites and that even though they were children of hell and they killed the prophets, He still is calling to them to repent and trust Jesus as Savior. And He's with outstretched arms begging you to come to Him. Listen to Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Here, no matter how wicked, how ungodly, how great they are as enemies of Christ. Just like Jesus reached out with outstretched arms to Saul of Tarsus, who was a religious hypocrite until he got saved. Jesus didn't take a club and say, "You sorry reprobate, I'm going to beat you into the pits of hell." No, he reached out with loving arms of grace and forgave him and cleansed him and gave him a life with a future. A life that was no longer pretense, but a life with purpose. A life with influence. A life with direction. A life that's still influencing people today for God and for good. May I say today, my dear friend, Jesus is standing here at this invitation time with outstretched arms. And if you've been living the life of pretense, if you've been that masked man, that masked woman, that masked teenager, pretending to be somebody you're not, pretending to be a Christian when you know you're a child of hell, Jesus is saying, "Come, come, I'll gather you unto myself as a hen doth her chicks. Come, I'll love you. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll save you. I'll give you a life. I'll give you a life that you don't have to pretend." Jesus still promises that all who come into Him, He'll not cast one out. Come honestly. Come as a sinner. Come seeking help. He'll receive you. Come to Jesus taking off your Pharisaical mask. Come to Jesus acknowledging your sinful and lost condition. Come to Jesus wanting with all your heart to be saved. He'll not turn you away. He'll receive you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll help you become the real man or the real woman or the real teenager you ought to be. You won't have to wear that mask anymore. It can be you. It can be a real smile and real joy and real peace that's yours. But you've got to come to Jesus to get it. Are you one of those masked men? Are you one of those masked women, those teenagers that's pretending to be something you're not, pretending to be a child of God, but you're a child of hell? God sees your heart. God knows the truth. If you can come to Him today, if you will, with an honest heart, sincere desire, He'll receive you. He'll save you. He'll give you a new life. And a new future. And a new purpose. You won't ever have to be ashamed. You won't ever have to pretend again. And you won't ever have to be lonely again. Because He'll become your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you must come to Him in faith. You must come to Him honestly. You must come to Him accepting Him as Savior. Father, that's our message this morning. Jesus